What's up, everyone? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Uptempo Talks. I'm Coach Rory Moynihan.
And I'm Coach Dylan Bellis.
We're coming back with another episode covering the latest events in the running world. So we're going to go over some news topics. We like to do this every couple weeks. One, we've been getting some really good feedback because we're trying to pull different stories that may be of interest or that you may be missing with all these other major world headlines. And two, I forgot what two was, but
that's okay. We're rolling with it.
It's great. It's interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously we've been keeping everybody up to date with the London Marathon. That seems to be the last kind of pressing marathon that was going to happen. We just found out this week that London has canceled their race for everyone except for the elite community.
The big dogs.
Yep. And so from what we can tell, that's going to be a big battle between Kenenisa Bekele and Eliud Kipchoge. So both guys, two of the fastest marathoners in the world ever. Eliud has also has run 201.39, and he ran 159 at 159 at the INOS. I'm not sure the pronunciation of it in Vienna for the sub two breaking two that was going on for a long time. And of course, this past year, Bekele actually ran just two seconds
off.
Yeah, it was incredibly close. So we're looking at a big matchup between these guys.
Now they have raced several times and Kipchoge has won
every single time,
all of them.
Yeah minus the track, I imagine, because obviously Bekele was an incredible track athlete. Not to knock on his marathon career, obviously
201,
but from a very young age, top of the sport. So we'll see. I actually read an article about their agent talking about their fitness at the moment, and at the moment, from what I hear, Bekele is not in the greatest of shape right now, but that's okay because we still have, you know, roughly 2 months until race day.
And yeah, he's, I read that same one too. He's based in Ethiopia.
Yep.
And the country is undergoing some political strife and some incidents that are, making it kind of unsafe to train in some cases.
Yeah, everything's on the treadmill at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So they said that he's a good treadmill runner. So last time he had the buildup, he actually went to Amsterdam, kind of separated himself, got in really good shape. You could tell just seeing him, he just looked like a different person. Obviously, the race time reflected it. But obviously, right now, he's, you know, in a position to where got to make the best out of these next 6 or 7 weeks. And the same thing with Kipchoge. I'm sure that I heard that training is not in full force for him. But we can't imagine that he's in bad shape because he hasn't lost in nearly a decade. So
now, from what I was reading, do they have the same agent?
Yeah.
Okay. That's kind of interesting. So it's like they're competitors, but their agent's like, sure he has to be careful with what he reveals almost.
Oh, I am absolutely sure of that. But yeah, so, you know, Eliud is used to training in the with his training camp with all the other athletes of a wide variety of distances, disciplines. And obviously that's not happening right now.
Shut down.
So it's going to be really interesting because the race is not going to be on the London course. It's actually going to be on a 1 mile course. So they're going to run a marathon on a 1 mile course to get the fastest amount of time. Obviously a big saturation of elite athletes in the mix of things. So this was actually the course they were going to use for the sub two challenge, but the weather was a little bit flaky in London, so they moved it to Vienna. So
yeah, I heard that.
It should be really interesting.
I'm almost wondering if this could be a new format for the elite races. I think the mile loop kind of requires less coordination. It's kind of more exciting for the spectators. You know, they can have their fuel and crew set up easier. I don't know. I think they could be onto something there.
Would you run a marathon on a 1 mile loop?
Oh, I wouldn't enjoy it personally, but I don't know. I think especially the pros, I think they're just so robotic in their mentality.
Yeah.
I don't think they would sweat it.
Fast time.
At least these two guys, I think they're just on a different plane. So I don't think they care. They're just ready to compete. I say we just make some predictions. You want to say who you think is going to win?
I feel fairly confident that Kipchoge is going to win.
Yeah.
You know, obviously you can't. There is no, we don't know if that's going to happen. But I have a feeling with everything going on with Ethiopia and all the treadmill running, it's really hard. And the odds are just with Eliud. He hasn't lost in a very long time. He's lost one marathon ever. It was like his second one.
Yeah.
My gut says Kipchoge, but just for the sake of a good bet, make it interesting.
Well, I want it to be a good race. Yeah. I want it to be a great race. I really do.
Should be close.
Hopefully. So on the women's side, the world record holder, Bridget Koski, is actually going to be racing as well. She ran 2:14.04 Chicago. Mm-hmm. So hopefully she's in good shape. The mother of two, hopefully going to show up and give us all a really good race. I think
unreal.
This course has the potential to be world record worthy. We'll see if the race and their fitnesses are world record worthy.
Yeah, we'll definitely be tuning in.
Yeah, absolutely. So I got one more thing before we leave the road scene. Sarah Hall ran a half marathon this past week in Eugene. It was kind of hush hush. Nobody really knew about it. Mm-hmm. Nobody else was really in the race. She had two pacers. Her daughters were with her. I'm not sure how many other people were there, but I think it was a pretty well set up race just for her. And she ran 68:17. So that's number six for the Americans of all time. That's obviously a really incredibly fast time. I'm just kind Very of impressive. Sad to see that nobody else got to get in that race other than her. You know, I think there are a lot of people, especially here on like the West Coast, that would have loved to be able to have that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And it seems like it was kind of closed doors. So it's kind of upsetting, you know, when there's opportunities, but it's kind of hush hush.
It's hard to say. It could be for safety reasons. I know there was two male pacers who were pulling her along. So it's a pretty good scenario for her, good situation. She maybe just wanted to sneak up on that all time list and she did it. She's even coming off a world record on the treadmill. That was significantly slower. What was that? 72, maybe?
Was it 72?
Something like that.
Yeah.
We may be wrong on that exact time, but still, I mean, that wasn't an easy effort either. So she's been staying busy.
Yeah. We ran across her a couple months ago and we were doing workouts at the same place. And she was with Ryan, her husband, mm-hmm. her two daughters, one who's a freshman in college and the other is either a junior and senior in high school, both extremely talented runners. And she was out there doing 20x400. I'm pretty sure she was running anywhere from like the 70 down to 68 type of range on the road. So just really flying. I was just doing a steady state tempo that day. So
you knew what workout she had?
Blowing by me. Yeah, they actually posted about it that day.
Yeah.
They're
pretty open about what they
do. And I believe her daughters did 10 to 16 mm-hmm. that day. I think it was closer to 10. But anyways, working really hard, you know, still staying on top of it. You know, if there's anybody who does well in those kind of time trial situations, it's Sarah Hall. So
hats off to her. That still impressive.
Yep. Let's move on.
Okay. I usually try to represent the trail scene here because you don't always hear those stories as often. If you're, say, to go on Flow Track or Let's Run, those are good places to check out. So I wanted to talk a little bit about an event neither of us had heard of. It is the National High School Trail Championships.
Completely blew my mind.
I'm a big trail runner. I've never heard of it.
Never.
Fourth annual. Obviously, this year was up in question. Still a significantly smaller race, so they're able to pull it off. I read an interview on the American Trail Association. They talked with the director. I think it's a 5.4-mile loop in Salida, California. It seems like they've held it at that
local. Salida?
Yeah, okay.
That's okay, though. Just making sure we don't get called out.
Typically, there's about 150 high school runners, so that may be another reason you're not hearing about it. But there was about 260 runners this year. I'm sure higher numbers due to the fact that most cross-country seasons are not happening. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of some big names, high schooler names, showed up to try trails for the first time. Now, unfortunately, even though I checked out their website, I couldn't get official results. I will note the winner here, though. The girls' champion was Jocelyn Blair.
Okay.
She has a sister named Samantha Blair, and I guess they're quite the duo. So kind of make note of them. They've been on mountain championship teams. I didn't even know there was a mountain team for high schoolers,
to be honest. Where was this hosted again?
Colorado. That was the female winner. For some reason, I couldn't track down the official results. I'm not sure who the male winner was.
Okay.
But either way, kind of an interesting event, and I think that's really going to contribute to an ever quickening trail scene. I mean, even in recent years, you've seen a big uptick in just college runners joining that trail scene. I think the road scene's pretty saturated. Mm-hmm. And just in terms of sponsorships and what you can get, there's a lot of college runners who are finding they can excel on the trails.
Do you know where the winners were from? So I'm just curious because you know, obviously in Colorado, you're going to be at elevation. So a lot of times, especially in the high school level of things, there's a big discrepancy between the athletes that are from altitude and not from altitude and the success they have at those races.
They are from Austin, Texas.
Interesting.
So they're coming from sea level, and that that race, Salida, Colorado, is at 7,000 feet elevation.
Yeah,
so
that's a long burner.
They held up very well. Just interesting to see them doing those races. I think it's really going to, especially for those athletes who maybe hopped in the race because they didn't have any other opportunities. Yeah. I think you're going to see them perhaps even fall in love with trail running, and the sport's only going to be more competitive in coming years.
Just a, just an activity that wasn't very popular among high school kids, among college kids, even on the road scene, right? There's a very distinct thing, but what we've seen in the last 10 years, there's been a huge uptick in interest in trail races, ultra races, and that's obviously bleeding out into the high school level.
Yeah, as a high school coach, I'm interested to see how it develops. Obviously, if they're doing a 5-mile race, that's similar distances to what people do in college. I could almost see a situation where a cross-country team may have a 5K set of runners, and then you have your trail runners, much like in track, you have mid-D and, you know, long distance. Could you see that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, you see that in the trail world already. Mm-hmm. You know, there's already the shorter trail races as well as the longer trail races. So it would be interesting to see if this does end up becoming a sport. I do know there are some universities that have trail running teams. I know that
more of like a club or an official team.
I think Western State Colorado, it might be, I'm not exactly sure. I can't, you know, don't quote me on it, but I know that they have a trail running team there. And I believe it's headed by Josh Eberle. I believe he's a national champion at Western State.
Oops.
Again, don't quote me on it. I do know that some teams have those trail teams, and it wouldn't surprise me if that is something that does get integrated into the NCAA eventually. Speaking of the NCAA, I really don't think they're going to have a season this year.
Yeah, it doesn't look like that. I think everyone except Division I has made a decision. D2 and D3, no seasons.
Nothing. I'm really interested because, as we've seen, there's already been a couple of really big football conferences that have already dropped out. Big Ten had just announced today that they're out. I believe the Pac-12 was next to follow. Obviously, there's other conferences that are on that bubble as well. So if that's the case, that's a big money driver. I saw this morning that Nebraska. So Nebraska said that they're going to work outside the conference and they're for football season.
Okay.
Because their football season generates like $70 to $80 million a year.
Cornhuskers, yeah.
So I mean, when you're looking at that kind of money, it's like, what does that do to the university when you take that away? And so obviously I think there's going to be some universities that are going to fight for it, whereas others are probably not. And then if that's the case, a lot of these conferences, they share profits, right, within the individual institution. So like, for example, where I went to school, like the teams that generated money that got all put in the same pool and it got distributed fairly amongst your teams. Cross country and track isn't a sport that produces revenue.
Yeah.
You know, it's not financially incentivizing for universities. So I'm interested to see if they end up cutting those seasons because of the bigger sports.
Remains to be seen. I believe they have an August 21st deadline to decide. I'm not feeling too confident.
No, I mean, it kind of doesn't seem like the smart way to go, but we'll see. I know that a lot of colleges right now are doing like half and half, half online, half in class. So we're going to find out. It's going to smack us in the face pretty soon. So we'll figure it out. So let's move on to the track now. So we've talked about the roads, talked about some high school trail scene. Did you want to talk about Run Rabbit really quick?
Oh, race cancellation.
Yeah.
100 miler.
Yeah.
In California.
For our trail people out there, there was a 100 mile race that had a green light, all set to go. Medical personnel said, no, thank you. So they will not be hosting this year's 100 mile race in Steamboat Springs.
Yeah. Our roommate Craig Hunt was all set to do it. He just did recon on the actual route.
Yeah,
with his pacer, but just kind of how it shook out. So
yeah, it's unfortunate.
Disappointing, but not a surprise.
So let's move on to the track now. So there were a few performances over the past few days that are good to note. So Freedom Track Club in Boston, it's a Saucony group. they actually had a race among themselves, I believe. Not a lot of participants, but a pretty like closed door sort of thing as well, just to get some times. So they ran 800 and 1500. Ones I noticed that really stood out to me. So Heather McLean ran 2 flat in the 800, which is really booking it.
Impressive. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually saw her group. So she's with New Balance, I believe. She works with Mark Coogan. Mark Coogan was a, I can't remember where he ran, but I believe he made an Olympic team or world championship team at one point in the marathon. So good runner himself who developed and is now a coach for the New Balance team.
Sure.
So yeah, 2 flat is impressive. That's right up there with some of the top girls in the United States. And then also in the 1500, Ellie Purrier ran 4 flat in the 15. So again,
wow,
that's tip shape.
Both,
that's,
right.
That's tip top shape. That's, you know, incredible.
Right on the threshold of some big marks.
Yeah. So on the other side of the country, we had Bowerman Track Club, who have been doing tons of time.
Racing a lot.
Their season's over now. I think this is their last one. They're on break from what I've been told. So Shelby Houlihan ran 2:01 in the 800. Really booking time there.
Yeah, I think we've mentioned her a couple times
already. American record holder in the 5K. And our second fastest woman in the 5K, Krista Switzer, 2:02. So right behind her, just like she was in the 5K, just like she was in the 15. So very impressive times.
They got some wheels too for the mid-distance.
Yep. And then on the men's side, they had Mohamed, who ran 5 flat for the 2K distance.
Just coming off that 5K too.
12:47 or whatever it was. Yeah, absolutely incredible. A couple other highlights on the track scene. So within that that Nike group, Donovan Brazier, who used to be with OTC, if I can remember correctly. I'm not sure if he still is, but regardless, has come out and said that he's going for a world record in the 800 meters.
Oh, yeah. I did hear about this.
Yes. So I believe he's run 142, somewhere in the 142 to 143 range, has just been dominating. You know, his training, his fitness seems like it's just really on par with some of the best we've ever seen right now. Very young guy. So he's going for David Rudisha's record of 140.91. So that's going to be really hard to do. David Rudisha, all, you know, obviously legend in this sport.
I think that was run at the Olympics as well.
I think it was. Yeah. Yeah.
So I remember seeing the video of that.
Yeah.
He was just running solo too. So that's a bold proclamation.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Rudisha, from what I've heard, he's trying to come back, trying to get back into it.
Getting a little bored, I guess.
Yeah. Rudisha was really interesting to me because I remember reading about his training and reading about some of the things that he does on a day-to-day basis. And he's an 800 meter runner. A lot of 800 meter runners either come from endurance side or a speed side. Mm-hmm. And he kind of has this nice mix of both.
Really?
And to the point to where he's come out and said that he runs 80 miles a week for an 800 meter runner.
That's robust.
Right? Other, I know in high school, 800 meter runners are running, what, 15, 20 miles
20.
A week?
Yeah.
If.
At most.
So it just goes to show you that aerobic ability really, really translates to not just the distance events, but some of those mid-D events as well, because it still is primarily an aerobic event. All right. So last thing we have is a Diamond League meet, which is the best of the best track races that we have. They're outside world championship events in the Olympic Games. So a lot of prize money, best of the best, European circuit, that sort of thing. So
happening this coming Friday, I believe.
This coming Friday in Monaco. There are a few big names that are going to be in the race, especially on the distance side. I'm just kind of looking over some of the 5K lists, and it looks like we've got, you know, 3 or 4 guys who have run under 13 minutes for 5K. So I don't know the exact last name, but Josh Cheptegei, 12:57 PR, comes in kind of leading that field. Some other guys from Kenya as well, Kameli. Really, really fast guys. So the Ingebrigtsens from Norway are going to be in that race. Julian Wanders from Sweden will also be there. And then just a host of guys around that 13 flat barrier. So this should be a really good race.
Yeah.
So hopefully, you know, they get paced well and they can shoot for a fast time. That'd be really cool.
I think the 1500 list is looking pretty good too.
Yep, yep. So we're looking at the 1500. That one is headlined by Timothy Chariot, well-renowned 1500 meter runner, you know, one of the best in the world. He comes in with a personal best of 3:28, which is absolutely flying if you don't know the pace of that. Some other guys just to be of note here, got Craig Engels from the United States, Ryan Gregson from Australia, Philip and Jacob Ingebrigtsen, will be in the 1500 there from Norway. Yamif Kajelcha, 332. He's an OTC guy, or OTP, Oregon Track Project.
Sure.
Used to be with Salazar. So he has is a sub 13 guy in that 1500 meter event. So some big names. Jake Whiteman from Great Britain. Again, big names. Fast race. Yeah. Hoping to see some.
I wonder how the Americans and the Aussies are getting there. I know some of them have been training in Europe, so it's a little bit easier to get over there without flying. Yep. But
I saw that Bowerman Track Club said that they will be spending the rest of this fall in Europe, I believe.
Or a little bit of it. Yep. So that makes sense. They're already there.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. So on the American side, obviously, we talked about Donovan Brazier. He's going for the world record. Bryce Hopple, former KU grad, 144 PR. He's going to be in that race. Kyle Langford from the UK. Ferguson Rotich, 142.5 PR. I mean, we're looking at 142 to 144 field. And hopefully we'll see maybe a really flashy performance from that 1500.
And do you know how to watch some of these meets? Because sometimes I feel like I don't hear about them till after they happen.
I believe Diamond League has its own channel. I don't remember what it's. I think there's like an NBC Gold Pass or something
so
like that.
You have to have that. Yeah.
I don't exactly know, to be honest. But you can find it on World Athletics. Go to Diamond League. They have streaming options there.
Okay.
So there, I think there is a paywall and you have to pay
for it. Yeah, you're going to have to pay.
But
maybe get up early to watch it.
How often do we get to watch track races these days? So hopefully maybe we'll get a chance to watch this.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So kind of to finalize the distance events, we have the women's 5K race. So big range of women here from 1430 to 15 flat. Some of the women that are leading off that, we got an Ethiopian lady by the last name of Gidi, 1423 personal best coming in. Oh, actually, she's not leading that. So Sifan Hassan of the Netherlands, obviously, she has won at some of the highest levels in the sport. She comes in with 1422 PR. So incredible runner. Constance Klosterhalben from Germany, Eilish McColgan from Great Britain, Helen O'Beary from Kenya. She comes in with a 14:18. Look, I'm messing this up already. So we're looking at a really fast race here. Shannon Roberry from United States, Laura Whiteman from the UK. We're looking at a really good distance race at Monaco this year.
They're all eager to race, I'm sure. So
usually the Diamond League isn't this stacked, but because there hasn't been any races, everybody's trying to get
in.
So you're getting the best of the best.
All right, let's dive back into the trail scene because we had a pretty impressive FKT. I know in our last news episode, we talked about kind of a failed FKT.
Mm-hmm.
This one was successful. This was done by Sarah Hansel. She is a native of Aiken, South Carolina.
Okay.
Yet she took on Nolan's 14, which is an incredible challenge. It's 14-14ers in Colorado. Sarah took on the Sawash mountain range, and there's basically 14-14ers that make up this really brutal. The official route, according to FKT fastestknowntime.com, ends up being 100 miles with about 44,000 feet of climbing. So obviously much of it is going to be power hiking. I'm not familiar with the route. I believe they're mostly connected. But either way, incredible feat. She's coming from sea level. You'd expect maybe a Colorado native to try this. And yeah, she said she's been dealing with a really humid summer. And actually her strategy to get ready for the elevation was training in a, what are those called? A horse trailer.
Okay. I was like,
so if you're driving down the freeway, see, you know, the horses in the trailer. I guess she has a, you know, lives on a farm or something, has horses. She kind of blocked that off and has an altitude converter. So she created like the equivalent of like 11,000 feet of elevation inside a horse trailer. But she said the hardest part of that was how humid it got in there. So not only is she training at a simulated environment of 11K, but just dealing with the heat. So,
wow. Yeah, you know,
that is dedication.
Humidity is the poor man's altitude. So
there's kind of a cool interview again on the American Trail Running Association. It was unsupported, so that's what makes it tougher. Her official time, which I haven't mentioned yet, was 57 hours and 43 minutes for the Nolan's 14. She brought about 8,000 calories, with her in her pack, which actually only
doesn't seem like very much.
It doesn't seem like for that many hours.
57 hours, that's 2 days.
Yeah, so she said that added up to about 3.5 pounds in her pack, which you have to figure. Every ounce counts. Mm-hmm. And there's even some junk food like Pringles and moon pies in there.
Quick energy.
So she had that. And it was just impressive because she's done it two other times. One of them, she got lost. And the other time she felt so sick that she had to sleep for about 10 hours, which is going to totally obliterate your time.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it sounds like she nailed it, I believe, third time around. Got the FKT for the women. We'll clarify there.
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, to be out there just like doing climbing up those mountains. And doing 14 of them.
Yeah. Most people just go to Colorado. They try to get one 14er for the weekend and that's their accomplishment, you know, which is still great, but she takes it to another level.
So I always know that when we're in Moab, we always
close to Utah. Yeah.
We always see a sign that says Sawatch.
Mm-hmm. And there's Sawatch Brewing, which makes good beer. So,
yeah. They just
hopefully she had a beer after that one.
Hopefully.
I think I've covered all my topics. New stories. How about you?
Yeah, I just got a couple of extra little bonus material here. There was a new running group that just got formed in Boulder, Colorado. It's going to be headed by Dathan Ritzenhain. It's called the On Athletics Club. So On is a Swiss company. Is really pushing hard in the running world at the moment where everybody's kind of like holding back. They're really pushing forward. And so that's really cool to see, you know, supporting running, really getting into it. I think I remember seeing Hoka do this, you know, quite a while back when they were just pumping so much money into the sport, forming teams in New York, forming teams in California, forming teams here in Flagstaff, just like tons of money, tons of elite athletes. And they created this incredible shoe company and community around it. And so I kind of think On is really kind of doing that similar approach. Obviously a very different style of shoe and kind of what their company culture gives off.
This could be their moment without much happening right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So On, they created a group in Boulder, Colorado. Some post-collegiate athletes have just joined the group. They've just kind of got things rolling. That'll be the second group, I believe, in the U.S. at the moment. The other one is in that Zap in Bowling Rock, North Carolina. They were formerly Reebok.
I think they just did a live meet and greet through Jack Rabbit Sports. They did like a live stream with one of the teams. So if you want to check out their social media, I think they have some conversations. You get to know those athletes if you're interested.
Yeah. And if you wore the On shoes, I have actually not. So at the running store that I've worked at, they actually don't carry any of their shoes. So I've actually never got to try them on. So if you've worn them, let us know what the make, what the model of the shoe is. And let us know what you think, because that is completely new, uncharted territory that we have not gone through.
Haven't tried them out yet, but they can send us a free pair to try out.
This one's really quick, but Joe Feehill, former coach of Adam State and Alamosa, well-renowned coach, has a book out there already, but it's impossible to get. It's $200 on Amazon. I've wanted it forever, but I can't get it. It's $200. It's insane. It's an old book, one of his older books. So it's just like hard to find because there's limited copies, I imagine.
I have one in my bookcase. I wonder if that's the one.
I want to see it.
I'll show you the cover later.
I'd like to see it. But yeah, so Joe Feehill, obviously he created a lot of what many famous coaches base their training off these days. He has won 19 national championships and has over 400 All-Americans, has coached 22 Olympians. Mm-hmm. So I think his credibility is there.
Sign up. Didn't you attend school there?
I did. Yeah, I went to Adam State for a semester. That is it.
Okay. Yeah.
So his new book is called Chasing Excellence. Yeah, it has just been released. It's actually being published here in Flagstaff, which I thought was really cool. Check that out. Obviously, he has been around for so long. He's 90 years of age. A lot of wisdom, a lot of experience, and really cool. If you're like really interested into the the foundations of running and the history of it, that is a good guy.
So this too. New one is normally priced, correct?
Yes. I think it was like $25 on the publishing website.
Okay. That seems affordable.
Yeah. And the last thing that I have was that the Vaporflies had just come out, that they are no longer going to be legal on the track or on cross country races.
It's notable.
They have come out and said that the heel can't be, there can only be a certain millimeter of stack height. So it's no longer able to happen on the track.
It's still under 40 around that range.
Oh, no. I think that it has to be 25 or under for.
Got it.
If you don't remember, not this past track season, because there was a national championship, but the last outdoor track season, the 10K was actually won in a pair of Vaporflies. So they're keeping all the records. That's all staying. Everything's holding up. They're grandfathered in. But from now on, those are no longer legal in sanctioned track and cross country races.
Significant.
Do you have anything else to add?
No, I think we packed a lot in there. Prizing amount is happening if you look for it. So
yeah,
hopefully you learned about something new happening in the running world. And we hope you're enjoying these episodes. We did want to shout out one of our athletes for responding 2 weeks ago when we did our news episode. We talked about the fittest cities. Number one was Arlington, Virginia. And we actually had a resident chime in and he told us why and made the list, right?
Did we say his name, right? James Parker. Yes, James Parker. He was telling us how he moved to Arlington and he was really surprised by how many people were out and about running, walking, cycling, just being out active and outdoors. He provided some clarity on like why Arlington.
Yeah, and they have the Potomac River there. Yeah, so a lot of triathletes as well. So I guess that's a factor.
Cool. I mean, if you're in Arlington, Virginia, you will be accompanied by a lot of active people out and about.
Yeah. Shout out James for chiming in. And we always like to hear your feedback. So comment on these videos, share them with friends. Of course, you got to subscribe if you haven't done so already, or perhaps you're listening. But either way, we appreciate you tuning in. This has been another episode of Uptempo Talks. I'm Coach Rory.
And I'm Coach Dylan Bellis.
Have a great run today, guys.